All right, it's the Oceana Community Services District. It is Wednesday, August 4th. I propose that we continue the closed session from the 5:30 meeting. I also wanted to move up item number 12, which is the public employee employment pursuant to Government Code 54957B1 to consider the appointment slash employment of a public employee, the general manager. Does anybody else agree or disagree or have any other changes you'd like to make?
What would you like to move
into? To the top of the agenda.
After public comment?
After public comment, yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
All right.
Okay.
Is there a motion to approve the agenda as modified then?
I approve the agenda as modified.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item number 5, public comment. Is there any public comment this evening? I see Ms. Tacker coming forward. Good evening.
I am Julie Tacker, and I brought you a few things. First, Ms. McGrath, there's 6 copies, one for each board member, one for your record. I would direct your attention to the board needs to see them. So if you could pass them out, I'd appreciate that. The New Times, the Shredder, on page 25 of this week, asks, there's more in there. I'll get to that.
Ms. McGrath, can you start the clock?
Page 25 asks some questions that I think the public's asking the very same questions, and I'm going to ask you tonight, why aren't we pursuing prosecution in the white-collar crime of overpaying oneself? Then, inside, I've submitted a letter for your board to consider. I've done a little bit of analysis on some of your payroll, and there are further questions, a little more than what your auditor brought forward for last year's audit, so I hope you review that. And then I wanted to speak to a little bit of the sanitation district, and I hope Mr. Guerrero speaks to it in his report later on. Kevin Rice and myself have submitted a cure and correct to the sanitation district. They decided to not pursue a forensic audit with regard to the sanitation district accounting over the last several years. This was a question brought forth by Mayor Peterson, and yet the board decided not to have that conversation. And we're asking that that conversation be brought back to an open session public meeting where the public can participate and encourage that board to pursue a forensic audit of the accounting practices over at the sanitation district. We also submitted, Kevin Rice and I, a complaint to the district attorney. When Mr. Wallace left the sanitation district, it became apparent that he, over the 27 years of his career at the sanitation district, moved or kept district records at his offices in San Luis Obispo. This was sanitation district property. And seemingly, that would be returned upon his retirement. And yes, that's happening. It's happening very slowly, and it's happening at a cost. He's actually billing to return public property that he should never have taken to his private offices in San Luis Obispo. Again, maybe an agenda item for the public that uses the sanitation district. We should all be talking about that. So those are 2 things that have happened this past week. And then you're going to get to it, but you're going to look at your warrants. And one warrant that was pulled off some weeks ago and now is back on, wearily without any explanation, is the $17,000 for Presley and Associates. And I do hope that we get some answers about the questions.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right. Oh, Ms. Young. Good evening, Kathy Young.
Thank you. Kathy Young, Oceano. I kind of asked you this, Matt, but I didn't get an answer. I was curious about the Tyler contract that I was assured like 2 years ago was being looked into and could be broken. Because I remember distinctly when that was voted on by board members to do, when at least a dozen people from the public got up and stated this was really overpriced.
Move into closed session at this time. This is a continuation of the 5:30 meeting, the public employee employment pursuant to Government Code Section 5497B1 to consider the appointment employment of a public employee. That's the first issue. The second one is was previously itemized as 12 on the 6:30 agenda, public employee employment pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1 to consider the appointment employment of a public employee, the general manager. So it is 6:39 p.m. We'll conduct the interviews in this room, so I apologize to everybody, but we'll be clear in the room at this time. Thank you. Okay, we'll call this meeting back to order. It is 7:55 p.m. We've just returned from closed session. As to the first item, which was the appointment of legal counsel, we were going to continue this until the end of the meeting tonight. We were unable to make a decision yet. And as to the second item, the public employee employment for the general manager, Gary, do we announce when we're going to do the interviews?
Or? No, it wouldn't hurt.
Okay. What we're planning on doing is interviews next Monday, which is August 19th. Did we say 10 a.m.?
Yes.
At 10 a.m. in the morning. Please send me an email on that so I don't forget.
I will. And, you know, I need to contact the candidates and make sure
they're available.
Yeah.
Great. If you can confirm that. So we'll tentatively set those for 10 a.m. next Monday. Moving on to item number 6, special presentations, there are none. As to item number 7, the consent agenda. I was not present at the July 24th, item 2 or 3, special or regular meeting. I was present on the July 10th special meeting, so I will recuse myself on the second two. But as to the first one, is there a motion to approve the minutes or any discussion or changes?
I need to recuse myself on July 10th. I was not present.
Okay. So we still have a quorum.
Not until she gets here.
We still have three for July 10th.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. Do you recuse?
July 10th.
Director Lucy, we were July 10th board minutes. Just
yes.
Seeing if there's any additions or changes or if there's a motion.
I'll second.
There wasn't a motion yet. Do you want to
make? Oh, I thought she made the
motion. No. She recused herself.
Okay. Okay, I'll make the motion that we approve the minutes dated July 10th, 2013, as received.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Moving on to items 2 and 3, I recuse myself. So, Vice President Lucy, I'll turn the gavel over to you on these two items, which is the July 24th special and regular meeting.
Correct.
I was gone too.
Did anybody see anything in here that they wanted to correct or change or add?
No.
No. Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion that we approve the minutes of July 24th, 2013, both the special meeting and the regular meeting.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
One abstention.
Two.
Passes.
I was gone that night.
Moving on to item number 7B, the cash disbursements. Are there any questions on the cash disbursements?
I did have a couple questions.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Lucy.
I have to find them first.
Sure.
I had noticed that on on one of the pages, here it is, it has listed names instead of positions that I was happy to see that that was put back into the warrant pack, but I would just like us to see the positions, not names attached to the positions. Is that possible? So on page blank, it has the payroll summary. If we could just do that by positions and not by names. Does anybody have any issues with that?
For the future?
For the future.
I have one item here from the CMR School District for Cinco de Mayo. Is that the last of the funds that are to be distributed out of the... Just the last.
Based on the form?
This is based on the invoice
that was sent to us. Yeah. My information was based on, I am assuming, maybe a verbal quote from CMR based on our possible usage, because it was 122 was the amount that was projected.
Well, perhaps we could pull this one and have Jocelyn review that, or and see if that was the, what we were quoted at the time.
I wasn't given a quote. All we had was from Thelma telling the farmers market how much it was going to be. So it was just her telling us, and then also.
Can you use the microphone, Jocelyn?
So I don't have a quote from the CMR, but we just have what Thelma. Our previous director, Thelma Hurdle, told the farmer's market, and then told the board how much all the items were going to be.
Do you remember how much that was?
It was about half of this. So I would assume that maybe it's maybe she got the quote for 1 hour, but I don't know. And we got billed for two. I'm not sure. It doesn't specify on here, but I know we don't have a quote that would have any number.
Okay. I'd still like to pull it, and maybe somebody getting hold of Mary Lewis and see what she was led to believe, and maybe it's in the minutes.
Okay.
Okay. So does that have to be in the form of a motion?
Well, is there any other questions or concerns about any of these particular warrants?
Make a motion. We pay the bills. Pulling out the one to LUCMR Unified School District until it can be further clarified. And I also support using positions rather than names on the listing of employee pays.
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item number 7D, the will serve letters. Now I needed to check here. There's a bunch of them for TAC and items D, 2 through 5. I think I'm within 500 feet. It's really close because that's the Avocado Ranch.
Avocado Ranch.
And so I think for purposes of that, I'll recuse myself. Over to Mary.
Trying to figure out how many we have here.
Gary?
Yes.
You have, I assume, looked these all over, and the money has been paid, and all the things have been dotted. And
yes, they're all in order.
Oh, it's all stapled.
Yeah, it's all together.
Okay.
Do you want to go ahead and approve them?
Well, I'm bringing up the same issue I always bring up.
Street lights.
Amazing, huh? As I read through it, did anybody maybe overlook the thought of street lighting, or was it just not put in the plan again? Because I thought maybe I had overlooked it, because I was looking so hard for a street light that I might have overlooked it.
Is there a policy that that development needs to do that, that I'm just not aware of? I'm just curious.
Well, we like them to put in street lighting. The county has no, they don't have any ordinances in place that mandates it. So then you have socially responsible contractors who do contribute back to the community that they're profiting from and building their projects in. Okay. And then there's some who don't feel the need to do that.
Okay. Thank you.
It appears these are four homes on a street, on one side of the street together.
Probably getting down to the last of the homes. Yep.
Three. 062, 075, 004.
I'll second that.
There's one more. The one on Strand.
Oh, we're just 60. Doing
she did this.
Tack
oh, she
and
did. I'm sorry, I didn't. I'm not paying attention.
I got all of them.
Okay.
Oh, you did include the Strand Way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
now we can discuss them.
Okay, do I have a second? Jennifer, are you seconding? Okay, I'm going to open the floor for discussion. Anybody have anything they want to put in on it? Yeah. Well, I've asked this developer numerous times if he would, because he's built so many places in the area. He built the Bell Ridge area, that thing that you look at when you come over the pass. Now has problems with sewer lines, but I've asked this director, this contractor, nicely, politely. I've pleaded and begged him to please consider putting in some form of safety lighting and street lighting. He's come back with the excuse that the neighbors don't want it, which is, you know, not true, but there might have been one or two people passing through riding their skateboards who don't want it. But I'm not going to support, I'll support the one on Strand, but I'm personally not supporting the Avocado Ranch development because of the street lighting, lack of street lighting, lack of community safety. So I'm speaking against the motion. Anybody else have anything else to put in on them, on these?
No, maybe we should make a visit to him and say, would you please put at least one street light in?
Okay. So I'll close the floor to discussions. Call the vote. All in favor? Let's do a roll call vote.
Director White?
No.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
No.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Okay, we have a tie.
Is there a public comment period?
We had public comment earlier on.
Well, not on this, we haven't.
But I'll take public comment.
I just meant on this project, I just wanted to suggest something.
Well,
is that a yes? It's okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Giselle. I'll allow for public comment, but can I just put the motion on hold for a moment?
Yeah.
Just to hear from the public.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just going to ask a question because I've always heard that Oceano, one of their powers involves something to do with street lighting. So, if you want street lighting, there should be some kind of written policy, shouldn't there, on what Oceano's supposed to do, what their powers are concerning street lighting? Does Oceano kick in money, or can they require developers to put in street lighting, or does anybody know how that works?
Yeah, Giselle, we do, but we're really not supposed to respond to public comment, and that's, I apologize, but that's how the system is. But yes, it is pretty well spelled out that we have it in our ordinances, but the county does not, and they have final say. So in the case of a
tie vote?
Tie.
Well, a tie vote is a no action vote. It's pretty much done. We can bring it back at the next agenda.
You can
reconsider.
I was going to make a second motion.
Well, we got to finish this one first.
Okay. Well, what I'm thinking is...
Can I interject something? I'm sorry. I'm not aware of any lighting district requirements that this district can impose on these projects. I know that there is a lighting district. We have a small number of antique lampposts that the district maintains. I know the revitalization plan is supposed to involve more of those things, and they're going to be asking the district to do the maintenance on those things. So I'm assuming the lighting district that the district that we have will enlarge with time. But I think the district can have some impact with the county with some official correspondence that addresses the need for streetlights, because they're the ones, somebody's got to approve these plans, and it's not us. They're the ones that will make that happen.
Okay, so you're recommending we send another letter to them?
Yeah, I didn't know if you have in the past, but yeah. I mean, if that's true.
But I'll be happy to send it again.
It should be a letter from the district.
Right.
Yeah,
we could do that.
Shall I go get him?
Let's see if... Well, yeah, let's get him, but I don't think it's going to be an issue on this one, but I don't know. You don't have a conflict on this one, buddy.
Oh, is that the one on the
Strand?
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's item 7D1, the Goodall property?
Yes. Correct.
All right. Is there any discussion? Is there a motion to approve?
There has already been a motion made to approve.
Motion and seconded already.
Seconded.
Okay. Then all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Carries 5-0.
And
no action?
No action on the other four.
All right.
2-2.
So we'll move on to item number 8, Sheriff South Station, Commander Jim Taylor. Good evening, Mr. Taylor. The commander.
Good evening. For the period between July 10th and August 13th, the Sheriff's Office handled a total of 554 calls for service in the Oceano area. Those calls for service included 8 reported vandalisms, 4 burglaries, 4 thefts, 2 batteries against persons, and 62 disturbing the peace calls, which ranged from loud music to family fights. I wanted to note that number of 554 calls for service represents the total amount of activity. So that includes pedestrian contacts, traffic stops. That's the total amount of...
Is that your entire route, so up on the Mesa?
No, that would be the Oceano, just Oceano, Pier Avenue, over towards Halcyon.
Okay.
So that's the level of activity. A lot of that relates to the summer activity, summer traffic, weekenders, that sort of thing, but it's the total activity of the station. So it's the deputies' self-initiated activity, as well as the reports of incidents or crimes that are called in. So it's a little overwhelming at first, but when you started looking at the individual incidents, you realize everybody's actually working, which is an encouraging thing. On the 22nd of July, the Sheriff's Office transitioned and began using its new radio system. The new radio system was developed by Raytheon Company and Twisted Pairs Solution. It's an IP-based radio system, and it features several upgrades from the previous system, which was 14 years old. That system was no longer being manufactured, and we were having to try and buy parts off of the internet to keep it going. Among the features is an application that allows the sheriff's office personnel to use their smartphones as two-way radios from anywhere that they have cell phone reception. The new system also allows dispatchers to patch together different frequencies with other law enforcement agencies. So currently, if I turn my radio on and we're on Sheriff's Blue Channel and I'm listening to Green Channel and it's Arroyo Grande Police Department, they're on a separate frequency, we're on our own frequency. With this new system, a dispatcher can create a channel using the IP features and basically take officers from the Highway Patrol and officers from Arroyo Grande Police Department and personnel from Cal Fire and dump them all onto one frequency. They still broadcast to their dispatch on their channel, but they're on one frequency and everybody can hear everyone and communicate. So if we wind up with a disaster, we have an earthquake or some calamity that hits, communication is no longer going to be an issue. The other agencies don't have to have this system. The fact that we have it, we can plug everybody into it. So it's light years ahead of what we were using in past years. The really nice thing about the system is that there's no additional cost to the taxpayers because the sheriff's office was able to use money left over from salary savings from last year's budget and roll it over to apply to this project for this year. So it was revenue neutral in that regard. It was money that had already been allocated, and we simply retasked it because we didn't fill vacancies. The other thing about the system is that it's currently used by the military and federal agencies, and it's actually the system that's in use in Afghanistan for the troops there. So it's been field tested. We're the first law enforcement agency in the country that has it. We're going to wind up being a test bed and hopefully kind of a showpiece for the rest of the country. Part of the reason, I will say, is that the president of Raytheon is a San Luis Obispo resident and a Cal Poly graduate, and wanted to expand this communication system into law enforcement and wanted his hometown law enforcement agency to be the first. So we are. And we're very grateful to Raytheon to have the opportunity.
Can you answer a question? Should we ask our questions at the end?
Using the cellular towers and the internet to communicate. The cell phones that we have, the smartphones, download an application from Raytheon, and that allows that phone to then pick up our radio traffic and to be used as a radio. It's not a system that would allow me to turn your phone on without your knowledge or permission. I'd have to take a phone, if you had a smartphone, take it and actually put this application on it, and then you'd be the one who activated and turned it on, not me. So
if you lost your cell phone that had the Raytheon app on it, right? Could somebody else download that?
Well, they couldn't download it, but if I lost my phone and somebody was able to turn it on, they could turn the application on. But the application, when you turn your cell phone on and the application on, there's a screen at dispatch that pops up and it shows who has their cell phone on and is monitoring radio traffic.
Okay.
So if I said, hey, I lost my cell phone, and it pops up, all the dispatcher has to do is click on it and it shuts it off permanently. So the ultimate control rests with our communication center in San Luis. They can decide who can listen in and who can't. So that's kind of, I guess, one of the safeguards built into it, because they were thinking about what if an Afghan soldier got an American radio, he'd want to be able to turn that off too.
Well, I don't worry about the Afghanis. Well. I worry about the government here.
Go ahead, Karen.
Can what I would call old-style scanners still pick up the reports?
Yeah, yes. It does not encrypt any of the communication, so anybody that has a scanner that likes to listen to radio traffic can continue to monitor our traffic. So there's no change in that regard.
Yeah,
any other questions about the radios?
Is it the same frequency?
Same frequencies we've been on before.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. We're kind of looking forward to putting it to use. Well, I mean, hopefully we don't have any calamities, but I mean, it's, you know, it'd be nice to have it just to show it off. The homeless encampment near the airport property off of Delta Avenue was cleared out. Then we got some reports of another encampment down in the creek near 22nd Street, mm-hmm. where there is apparently a collection of some computer monitors and TV sets and some other appliances. The person we believe is responsible is a fellow by the name of Shannon Jeffries, who currently has a warrant for dumping junk in the creek from the airport site. So once we have him in custody, then we will go about trying to figure out who is the rightful owner of that property, and if there isn't any rightful owner, then collecting it and getting it out of the creek before certainly the rains come. We finished our Saturdays with the sheriff at the Boys mm-hmm. and Girls Club. We had the last one in July. We brought in deputies from the sheriff's bomb squad, and they showed the kids the truck and the robot and some of the equipment that they use. They didn't get to set off, detonate anything in the yard, but they at least got to give the kids a tour of the equipment, and they seemed to enjoy it. The Sheriff's Advisory Foundation has renewed the grant, so the Boys and Girls Club is going to be able to continue keeping the club open on Saturdays through the fall. And we'll try and get with Frankie Curiel and figure out if we can continue the Saturdays with the sheriff, or maybe we expand it to some of the PDs or the fire department, but we'll stay partnered with them and get the program going again. And then finally, the last thing I wanted to mention was that we hosted the last of four of our great summer camps, and this one was at Mesa Middle School. It was the last camp. It was the one in the South County. We had 36 children who attended. We had more signed up, but we had 36 that showed up. Now, the biggest number that we had was for one of the camps in North County where they had 101 kids show up. So 36 was easy after what these officers had been through with the larger groups. And I will say, to the credit of the parents in the South County, these deputies said, this is the fourth camp we've had, and these are the most well-behaved, polite children in the county, from what we can tell. I mean, there was absolutely no issues or anything. I mean, it was... You know, I was really surprised. I mean, the kids were really well-behaved and appreciated the program. They had a lot of activities. They partnered with Friday Night Live for some of the activities. One of the things they did on one of the days was they put on a kind of a car show, but it was fire engines and sheriff's vehicles. They had the CHP helicopter come in and land on the school grounds, and then the kids got to see all of that and tour it and take pictures with it. Once the camp was completed, I met with Supervisor Frank Meacham, and we presented the certificates to the kids. Frank was representing Supervisor Tessera, who was a big supporter of the program and had actually been looking forward to attending a camp in his district. So we presented the certificates on his behalf. We're going to host the camp again next year. We're hoping to double the number of kids that attend.
I don't really see, I don't see an increase in violent crimes. Mm-hmm. You know, we're very fortunate in that sense, you know.
Right.
Mainly, you know, just fireworks, you know, just local.
I was talking to
all of us doing our regular thing, you know. So I was just wondering where that information comes from, because I'm only reading your reports and the county reports, and I just can't see it.
I think... Well, if you asked the question, is crime going up across the board in California, the answer is yes. The Attorney General has even concluded that and issued a report from her office. Is crime going up in Oceano? I don't see that it's changing from month to month. It's at a static level. I think violent crime is actually quite low. I talked to one of the residents earlier tonight. I told him, you know, 27 years ago when I started as a deputy sheriff in Oceano in 1986, you left the station at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was call to call to call. And it was fights and stabbings and, you know, drunks and brawls and family fights, and it was very active. And I listen to the radio now, and the deputies are busy, but it's the typical kind of activity you would expect from bedroom communities. I mean, it's mm-hmm. not violent crimes. It's not family fight after family fight. It's not drunks passed out in alleyways. I mean, you know, not that it's consolation, but it's decidedly normal, the calls for service that are going on here, normal compared to other bedroom communities in the county. So You know, is the economy affecting crime overall? It probably is, because
yes.
we're seeing a rise in bank robberies, certainly. We've had our 10th bank robbery for the year in Pismo Beach this afternoon. Last year, for the whole year, we had four. So clearly there's some effects, but in your community here, I don't see a dramatic rise. I don't see really any rise. It's just kind of a consistent basis.
Yeah, okay. Because I was trying to, it is, you know, as people get poorer and poorer, you know, and there's mm-hmm. no social service programs, yes, you're going right. to have an increase in violent, you know, in crimes.
Right.
You know, and some of them are out of desperation and others are not.
Right.
But, yeah, I just couldn't quite figure out, so I thought maybe I'd ask you.
Right. No.
You know, I feel pretty safe.
I do.
You know, I'm not going to tell you what I don't lock, but, you know.
Oh, thank you, Commander Taylor.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great night. And as to item 8B, which is the Five Cities Fire Authority, I think the Fire Chief Hubert left us a printed report. We'll attach that to the minutes. Move on to item 8C, which is the OCSD Operations, Interim General Manager Gary Keith. Good evening, Gary.
Good evening, sir. Thank you. So let's see. I put together a written status report for you. It didn't get done until just before you started the meeting, and I did put copies up here in the front for members of the public. So I think the thing I'm going to start off with is we had a billing delivery failure that I know you're all familiar with, because I know you were getting phone calls, as was staff. The way that we do bills is, you know, we gather all the information from the field and we put together a packet and we ship it off to a vendor who does the mailing. And at first, I think we all thought it was a post office error, which it was not the case. Then we thought it was a vendor error, which was not the case. What we discovered was that we only sent out, that is, the district only sent out half of the bills. So we're pretty sure we know how that happened. So what staff is recommending that you, the board, acknowledge and approve waiving our late fees and penalties that are established by code, because the problem is not the customer's problem. And the way we wanted to deal with the billing is to do a second mailing, which will, you know, be a second edition, and we want to include some information in the packet that there aren't going to be any fees or any way penalties associated with that. And clean it up in that fashion. So I've been told that I have the authority to do that as a general manager. I can't find that authority. So I want acknowledgement from the board before we make that happen.
I think that's fine, but when the second billings go out, they should say there won't be any late fees or
yes.
such past a certain date. Because if you just leave it open-ended, I'm not paying mine.
Okay.
That's going to be the case. And, you know, I don't know what the normal turnaround is, if it's normally 2 weeks or 30 days or whatever.
Well,
it should be that same
current, yeah, whatever the numbers are, we'll plug them into the notice and make sure that it fits in with the way we normally do business up front.
Okay. And then I think you have some more news as well?
First off, your sewer jetter is here, and it's been delivered. And it works. So that we've run the system. The check valve was frozen, the clay valve was frozen, your crew was able to, not a check valve, a gate valve, your crew replaced the gate valve with one you had in stock. They rebuilt the clay valve with parts they had in stock, and we run it under conditions that mimic the power outage that we had back in June, and it maintains system pressure, so that's done.
Mm-hmm.
We conducted interviews for the general manager position on August the 7th. The interview panel was made up of water and sewer professionals they weren't local, two were from Santa Barbara County and one was from northern San Luis Obispo County. They interviewed four people. The fifth candidate dropped out. The panel made a recommendation that we continue on with two. We need to interview those folks, and as you mentioned earlier, we've made arrangements to try to set these interviews up for the two candidates next week.
All right, we have a vacancy in the office, effective August the 5th, which has temporarily been filled pending a formal recruitment, and we're moving to make that formal recruitment happen. I've got a lead man vacancy on the utility service crew. That was effective August the 12th, and that needs to be filled as soon as possible also. We met with the personnel committee on August 9th, and we want to advertise and fill that position at the supervisor level. And the reason for that is that a supervisor, that job classification more correctly describes the duties of the job. It isn't going to make much of a change in your cost, at least not initially, because the near-term salaries in the lower step ranges of a newer employee are about the same as the higher-level salaries of the lead man that we lost. So you'll see some, you know, increased cost in the future, but you won't see it anytime soon. So that we'll be putting together a recruitment package for that. And, you know, depending on what I see out there in terms of availability, we may want to bring in a temporary employee to help fill the gap on the construction crew in the near term. I can't imagine that it's somebody was telling me today, oh, we could do that in 2 weeks. No, it's going to be a while. It's going to take 4 or 5 weeks minimum, I think, to go through the recruitment process, and maybe a little bit longer. And the crew's got a lot of work to do, so we may fill it in that fashion. We had a water leak on 19th Street on July the 20th, which was a Saturday, and the crew opened up the hole and repaired the leak. There was a lot of undermining of the road base. It undermined the sidewalk, and I had them leave it open so that we could bring a contractor in and get an idea of, you know, what it would take to go in there and make what I'm going to call a permanent solid repair. It's a big project. It's one that was identified by the district some time ago. There was a partial design completed. I've heard that it's 75% complete. Today I read it was 90% complete. But anyway, the design work for that is pretty close to being finished. And what we're going to do is backfill that hole, compact it, put in some thrust blocks where we think they're necessary, and repour the sidewalk and leave a steel plate there because the main there is so shallow that the heavy trucks that use that alley can very easily crush that line. So we're going to go right back, and I hate to do this, but we're going to go right back into a temporary situation that you've had there for a while. We will need, I think, to put that particular project, you know, right up at the top of our capital improvement program list. Miss Lucy, or Director Lucy, was able to find a grant application that, when I looked at it, I didn't think it applied to us, but your district engineer, Mr. Grosshart from DPSI, filed for the grant, and he got a favorable response. So I don't know when that money will come available. But it certainly could help pay for the project. It might pay for most of the project based on my understanding of the cost. And I don't know, Director Lucy may have something to add to that. No?
Okay. I just have, I'll give this to the audience. Just have the scoring sheets.
Okay.
It's the phase one of the IRWM plan money.
Mm-hmm.
And they picked, they had 92 applicants. They're selecting 28 for funding, and Oceano in the subtotals basically looking at all the categories and then kind of rating.
For the generator that we have that's located down here at your number 8 well site, that generator provides emergency power for the sheriff station and for this building and for the fire department and, of course, well number 8. And I think it's pretty integral to emergency management and hazard mitigation. I went round and round with a couple of issues over, you know, who qualifies and who doesn't qualify, but finally they decided we were qualified. And so a notice of intent is not, it's not like you file for a grant. It's a fairly simple document to fill out. We made the list. What has for this particular funding,
what has to happen is there has to be a major disaster in California that causes the United States president to declare a national disaster. And when that happens, that's when this program gets funded. So you're on the list. The Cal EMA folks tell me we'll stay on the list until something happens, and then we'll be ranked with everybody else at the time of the disaster. So it's something there that could come to the table. However, as I was talking with folks about whether or not we were eligible and getting my yes and no answers, the fire department got to talking about it, and Chief Hubert came in to see me one day, and had Jocelyn come into the office, and we got to talking, and he held the opinion that we could probably use our fire facilities fees, which are impact fees, to pay for that generator. So Jocelyn got in touch with the county planning department, and by God, we got a judgment, and it came back pretty quick that it is eligible. So, you know, there's around $125,000, maybe a little bit more, that's available there that can be put towards this generator. And at the time, I thought, well, that's great. That's about half the cost. But we've also gotten some quotes in. I've got two written quotes that say we can do the generator by itself for around $125,000 and maybe the peripherals for maybe another $50,000. So my cost estimate is less than it was the last time I talked to you, and we have at least $120,000 more or available now that we didn't know we had before. So I'm starting to feel pretty good about getting that thing funded. So we're waiting for another quote out of the Central Valley and another quote from a local electrician. So we'll have some numbers that will be, I think, meaningful and provide a good target for you. And that concludes my report.
Thank you.
It's nice to get good news. I like it.
Thank you, Gary. Move on to the Board of Directors and outside committees.
Do we have to take some action?
Oh, we do need to take action on the bill issue.
Yeah, it would be good. I mean, I'd be satisfied with your acknowledgement, but an action would be nice.
A bill for what?
The problem is the problem is it's not an action item on the agenda.
Yeah, I just said the same thing.
Okay. I'll echo that.
It probably is an issue because it wasn't agendized as an action item. But as I said, I mean, I think that
why don't we just add it to the 28th? You'll get the bills out. You'll just go ahead and rebill. We'll direct staff to go ahead and rebill, and then we'll clean it up then.
Okay.
That sounds fine.
Right, that's fine.
What were we cleaning up?
The late fee and shutoffs for people that didn't receive bills.
Those were the only two things?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if we were back on the jetter and the and the truck and the training.
We're getting there.
Okay.
Well, first we have the report. Director Angelo?
You did Northern Cities. We did well. We did together. Why don't you report on Northern Cities and I'll report on RAC?
That was 2 weeks ago.
No, yeah, it was last week.
No, was it NCMA? Oh, I'm thinking of Zone 3. Sorry. You better report on it. I'm not with it.
Do you want their agenda?
Yeah, better have it.
Okay. That was a spare one for you.
Okay. People laugh at my piles, but there is some madness there.
This is the one that we just did.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the Letitia information.
Yeah, okay. And then here's the breakdown of the water. If you want to do the water, I'll do the water. If you want me to do the water, you can do the water.
We had the Sentry Well monitoring done for the
fourth. Microphone, please. Thank you so much.
I said we did the Sentry Well monitoring for the quarter three, and what they did find is that some of the wells were they weren't pulling as much water as they had prior.
But it definitely did show up.
Anything else, Director Angelo?
Oh, there were several things that was discussed. I'm looking at the Letitia revised recirculated draft environment report. There's been a lot of concern as to where they're going to get their water from for the construction that they want to do, and also the farming section that's going to stay there as well. I didn't follow along with it too well because we were doing it over the phone, and it sounds like they really are going to have to do more revisions to make it work. Part of the problem is now that everybody's panicking about not having enough water in general, may change a whole lot of this draft form.
I think one of the other issues they discussed on that topic was should we send a letter not supporting the EIR report, the environmental impact report, and also the lack of water up in that canyon as a group? And I had stated that OCSD had already drafted the letter and had sent the letter out. And so we'd be happy to participate as a group, but we participated individually as a body already, so they can do whatever they want. And I think that they came to the conclusion that since they've kind of the self-appointed monitors of the groundwater, well, not self-appointed, but kind of, well, almost court-appointed, but not quite court-appointed, that they would send it as a group, because that's what they do. They monitor the groundwater basin.
We did send our letter to RAC, correct? Not to the EIR. We were going to have to do a separate letter to the EIR.
No, we sent our letter to RAC and the Board of Supes. Mm-hmm. We sent them to both.
Okay.
Yeah, and RAC did receive our letter. I think the more attention that's paid to it, because they're talking about big money development here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so there is a lot of concerns. Another, can I just jump in here for a second, Lori?
Yeah, go ahead.
Another concern, which really wasn't a concern, I'm not quite sure what it was. It was a distraction. What it was is that I just passed out. I did pass out. These charts right here that show, this is Grover Beach, AG, OCSD, and then Pismo. And these are our sources of water. And so I guess the Zone 3 Technical Advisory Group, or maybe another technical advisory group, was concern that Oceano would not be using all of our surplus water. And I asked them which surplus were they talking about, the state water project that we had just bought into, or was it the surplus water? And really it was our entitlement for surplus is 203 acre feet. And so they were concerned about us not using 31 acre feet, which to me was like, really?
Yeah.
You know, so I'll talk to the water guys to make sure, but we only have not even, we have maybe 31 acre feet in surplus. And in our state water project, so we have 193 acre feet left from those four areas that we get the water from, which is not to include the groundwater, but it's Lopez, surplus water, the state water project, which is only two years, and state water. Separate state, another state, the one we're paying the big bucks for that we're not getting all of our allocation for. So I think we're fine on our water. But the group was concerned that Oceano had not utilized all of our water sources. And I went on to ask them a little bit further if this was a pattern, or they said that it jeopardizes the other parties, you know, our cohorts at the table. And last year, I think we didn't use like a acre foot or 2 acre feet or something.
For Zone 1A meeting, 1A, Karen, I believe that was you that was asking me about whether or not they were going to be doing the management past the 22nd Street Bridge. And it is in their permit. But they do need a permit from the Coastal Commission for any work that's past the railroad tracks there. And they've had that application in since May. And so they're waiting to receive that. But last year they didn't receive it until September. So they just as soon as they get it, they'll start work on that area.
So they already have their permits from the state to clear that out? Because usually what they do is they hire the Corps of Engineers that goes through there and with their machetes and just chops the heck out of it and then mm-hmm. leaves it.
Right. Yeah, they have to leave it.
No, they don't. They cut it down and just leave it to lay in the creek and clog up.
No, that was something that they mentioned that... now I don't remember which group it was. I think State Parks was saying that they are required to leave at least the trees cut into 3-foot chunks. They had to leave them on the bank. They'd like them to be used for habitat for the animals. They don't want to take it out. They can cut it down so it's not in the way, but, I mean, it's just that's part of their rules is that you have to leave it there for natural use.
So the old TVs stay too, you know, and
Well, they're trying to get those out, Commander Taylor.
Yeah. So they normally do that work from August to October, so they're just getting started on that.
Yeah.
But that's all I have.
And I did attend the sanitation plan. I did not bring the agenda from that, so I'm going to pass, except for making just a couple of comments. One, the plant is running very well. The changes that have been implemented by the Sweeneys, and again, there is a new plant chief operator, John Carter. It's going very well, but I'll update on that report next time. When I forgot to bring the agenda, so.
Shannon's still with us.
Yes. Director White.
Yeah, I wrote a quick report on. Five Cities Fire Authority. I was sworn in as a member at the regular Friday, June 26th meeting. Bill Nichols from Grover Beach was voted as chairman. Joe Costello of Rye Grande is vice chairman, and I'm the third member. They have a rotation system.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
And then Fire Chief Hubert provided a response to the grand jury report on consolidation of public safety dispatch services for the South County. That report criticized the Five Cities Fire Authority and said they were not working with the other agencies toward that, which is not true. And it also criticized Five Cities Fire for not working closely with Cal Fire.
That's true.
And that the chief noted that in the 2012 calendar year, the Five Cities Fire Authority responded to 313 calls to the city of Pismo Beach or the county service area, where Cal Fire responded 24 times to the Five Cities Fire Authority area. So they certainly are working with Cal Fire. And anyway, and that was about the gist of it.
Thank you, Karen. Moving on to item number 9, it's public comment. Is there any public comment? Are there any slips that were filled out yet, Gary?
There's two.
I'm sorry.
Are there any public?
No, okay. I'm sorry.
All right, I see Ms. Tacker at the podium. Good evening, Ms. Tacker.
Let me ask real quick. I saw that you have a separate comment section for your budget. Would you like me to address the budget now or wait?
Where are you looking?
It is a public hearing at item 10.
Item 2. Item 10A2.
Yeah, why don't you wait for that then?
Okay, then I'll speak to the other items. First, You know, Grover Beach just declared a water shortage stage two, which is a voluntary conservation effort. And being an NCAMA partner, it's a good idea for you to conserve water too, because you are all drawing from that same basin. The NCMA 2012 monitoring report should be here, and I was hoping to see it on an agenda with a presentation and you, you know, discuss it with the consultants. They're then going to leave the district. Certainly in the future, when you hire employees, make sure they have that Class A license. An analysis that was never done was comparing outsourcing the service to someone who already owns a jetter truck, who pays his own employees and benefits, rather than the district be burdened by this machine. Item D, the transfer of the building to the admin fund. I am still of the opinion that CSDs do not have general funds. And until you have an attorney that you can put your weight in, I would recommend that you delay this decision. It's a nice idea, but I just want to know that it's really prudent and that you can do it. I don't believe you can. Item F, Mike Wynn is the only applicant in the list of applications for this district for supervisor race or the appointment that has CSD experience. And if you do choose to endorse him, I think he would be very valuable with his CSD experience in being able to help Oceano CSD.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment? I do have one from April Dury. Good evening.
Hi, guys. It's April from the Five Cities, and I wanted to speak on resolution number 2013-15-10B, whatever that is. Of course, as you know, I'm in favor of this, and I'm very eagerly anticipating this to actually happen this evening. So excited. With that in mind, I wanted to let the public, because this is televised, know that the farmers market has been moving along really well with the planning stages, and our next big event that's coming up is we're doing a presentation at the Grange in San Luis Obispo on Broad Street on September 12th. It starts at 6 p.m., and it's to present to an organization called Slow Money Slow, which is an investment group that is behind the process of slow food instead of fast food. So they invest in food that is good for the community, good for people. They've done really great things. The co-op food business that's in San Luis, that grocery store, that's one that they've invested in. So given that we are now hopefully this evening officially done with the OCSD, that the public in general will come check us out on September 12th. Thanks.
Thank you, April. Moving on, if there's no other public comment, we'll close public comment. Moving on to item number 10A, public hearing, fiscal year 2013-2014 OCSD budget adoption. There is a staff report on this. The staff recommendation is to adopt the OCSD resolution 2013-16, rescinding OCSD resolution number 20-13-10, conduct the required public hearing, and receive considered public comments. Number three, consider the material presented in the staff report. Number four, consider the proposed budget. And then five, adopt OCSD resolution 2013-17, which approves the OCSD budget for the fiscal year 2013-14. So the first item would be to adopt resolution number 2013-16. Is there any discussion or is there a motion? This would be the rescinding OCSD resolution number 2013-10. And then after that, if there was an adopted motion, this would adopt the resolution. We'll move on to item number two.
I move that we adopt resolution number 2013-16.
All right. I have a motion.
Second.
I have a second.
I'm lost. I'm sorry.
I know. I have to move.
I have 15. I don't have 14.
It's connected to.
It's in the back of the budget.
It's with the budget that we already approved.
It's all on one.
Oh, so it's the budget.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Maybe we could put the resolution at the top or something.
This is the staff report. Marie, can you do a roll call vote, please? We have a motion and a second.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Right, motion carries 5-0. We'll move on to item number 10A2, the public hearing to receive and consider public comments. I'll open the public hearing at this time and accept public comment. Is there any public comment on this budget? Ms. Tacker, good evening.
Thank you again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I just want to say how pleased I am with how far the budget has come over the last several months. The work of your staff is commendable. We came a long way. Let's just say that. What I had hoped with this public hearing is that I know that Jocelyn worked on a PowerPoint presentation, month or so study, to show how much each of your staff is working on pieces of the district, how much time is really put towards sewer, how much is water, how much is fire, how much is lighting, garbage, etc., so that you have those funds that are paying for those administrative services equitable among the funds. So that would be something I'd like to see in the future. But again, completely complimentary to your staff and how far this budget has come.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right, hearing none, we'll close public comment. Item 3 is consider the material presented in the staff report. Consider the proposed budget. I will note that there have been 6 different meetings prior to tonight on this particular issue. It's been considered at 2 regular board of director meetings and 4 special meetings, or 3 committee meetings and 1 special meeting. So if there's no further discussion, we'll move on to item number 5, which is to adopt resolution 2013-17, which approves the OCSD budget for the fiscal year 2013-2014. Is there any discussion or is there a motion?
I move that we accept FYI 2013-2014 OCSD budget.
Annual budget.
And for clarification, would that be to approve resolution 2013-17?
Yes.
Double check. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Marie, will you give us a roll call vote, please?
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
And Director White?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries 5-0. Move on to item number 10B, resolution number 2013-15, repealing resolution 2012-15, which established the Oceano Farmers Market Committee, a standing committee of the Oceano Community Service District Board of Directors. Is there any more discussion on this?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'd like to recuse myself, if that's okay.
Okay. Then we'll excuse Director Blackburn.
Okay. I've said this like a number of times, and I just can't seem to get the point across.
Actually, hold on. Let me. Director Blackburn needs to state the reason for her recusing herself.
Oh, why are you leaving?
Yeah.
Talk loud.
Just when you thought you were out.
I would like to accuse myself because I've been in the Farmers Market Committee since its inception, and I'm also currently a signer on their accounts. So, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Blackburn. So she feels conflict. All right, go ahead, Director Lucy.
Okay. This was a standing committee of parks, not a standing committee of the Board of Directors. There is a big difference. So the resolution has to state that it's a standing committee of Parks and Recs, not a standing committee of the Board of Directors. Standing committee of the Board of Directors is finance. It's personnel. You know,
it's parks.
It's parks. But the Farmers Market was not a direct standing committee of the Board of Directors.
Staff can only respond that your attorney wrote this, and I'm just going to have to spend some time.
You're going to charge him back.
Yeah, I just like,
I told him six, seven, eight times, look, you're getting it wrong, you're getting it wrong, you're getting it wrong. Oh, yeah, you're right, you're right, you're right. Well, then here I read it again. So with the yeah. changes, I would support Resolution 2013-15 with the correction that says served as a standing committee of the Oceano Community Services Parks Division.
Parks and Recreation.
Parks and Recreation.
Parks and Recreation.
Parks and Recs.
Division. I don't know what that is.
Division.
Recreation.
Parks and Recreation. What is it? A committee?
Department.
Yeah. The department.
It's like the water.
A department of this district.
Yeah, it's a power we activated that's within the government code to have parks and rec.
But you don't know. Okay, I'll talk.
It's in the budget.
Yeah, it's like you have, you know.
It goes back a ways to when we were trying to do the.
Yeah, it can't be a direct standing committee of this body because it's not a power. Farmers Market is not a power.
So it's a subcommittee of the Parks and Recreation Committee.
So you can have a standing committee of Parks and Recs. And within Parks and Recs, they have a standing committee of the Farmers Market. Not soon. I couldn't understand why they kept coming to the board and giving reports.
Is it a division?
Authority,
is power, financial
Parks and
committee.
The Parks and Rec Committee.
Committee. Standing.
So it's
standing,
a subcommittee.
However, subcommittee of Parks and Recs. It's just not a standing committee of this body.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to figure out, just make sure we're all consistent on the language. Can you read back to me what you got, Gary?
You gotta be kidding. Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna ignore the preamble. It's the first paragraph. Whereas Oceano Farmers Market was created on November 4th by Resolution 2012-15, the Oceano Community of the Oceano Community Services District, to serve as a standing committee of the Oceano Parks and Recreation Department.
Fine.
The Board of Directors, Recreation and Parks Department.
I beg your pardon?
What?
We have to have the whole board in there.
Don't confuse it, Karen, please.
The Oceana Community Services District Board of Directors, Parks and Recreation Committee. And I'm referring to the budget to see what the budget calls it.
And also in the preamble, it needs to be consistent with the whereas.
Right.
All right.
Okay, so it's 2012-15. Parks and Recs.
2012-15 of the Oceano Community Services District Parks and Recreation Committee. Is that what I understand correct? Well, Parks and Recreation Committees don't pass resolutions. The district board does.
Right, and the district passed a resolution recognizing the standing committee in the Parks and Recs Fund.
The budget just calls it Parks and Recreation.
I beg your pardon?
But she's got fund over here, Parks and Recreation.
Yeah,
fund.
I'm searching it here.
It just has to be once removed. Otherwise, could you imagine how many standing committees would be coming off this body?
I'm already committed to death.
I think I'm getting it. Okay. Whereas the Oceano Farmers Market Committee was created on November 14, 2012 by Resolution 2012-15 of the Oceano Community Service District to recognize a
to recognize, to be recognized as a standing committee of the Parks and Recreation Committee.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay. So we need to add that language in the preamble.
Yeah.
And then we'll be good.
Resolution 2012-15 of the Oceano Community Services District.
2013-15. 20-12-15. Oh, I'm sorry. 20.
Of the Oceano Community Services District to recognize as a stand to be recognized as a standing committee of the Parks and Recreation Committee.
Good. Perfect.
Anderson?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All right. Marie, can I get a roll call vote?
You made the motion, and you made the... Okay. Vice President Lucy.
Yes.
Director Angelo.
Yes.
President Guerrero.
Yes.
Director White.
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Moving on, we'll bring Jennifer back.
Jennifer, you can come back.
Moving on to Eider.
Eider.
About to turn into a pumpkin. Moving on to item number 10C, Jetter/truck purchase/Class A CDL. This is the cart before the horse discussion. We have the cart in the yard. We don't have the horse. Or the rider, for that matter.
Right. So, I don't know what your perspective, the board's perspective is on keeping cash. Looking at the situation that we have today, I'm recommending that you reconsider the Jetter funding plan and direct staff to pay for the Jetter with the available sewer fund cash balance, and decline the use of the capital lease agreement to make the purchase. The capital lease agreement was approved, and it's also...
I do have a comment on the driver's licensing certificate. Those can be done by the individuals if they go to DMV, and they can take a test there with the getting the, and not having to go through a training course per se. There's an actual application that you can fill out and obtain a Class A license. Also, depending upon how they're operating, the Jetter would determine if they even need one. After kind of looking through some other things and talking to a gentleman from the CHP who I know who does go around and check these things on a quarterly basis, checks the weight rating and the safety situations on them, you could... If I remember right, it's if it's totally loaded and full on the weight, you still have an area. Okay, you said there's two 400-gallon tanks for water and a 500-gallon tank for debris, which comes up to 1,300 gallons, basically. It would be under 10,000 pounds if you were to tow it either with just one tank filled with water and then fill it at the location where it needs to be done off of a fire hydrant, you wouldn't have to have a Class A license, is the way I was told. And as far as paying for someone to go through a process with a truck driving firm and all that type of stuff, I think is a little bit of overkill. Plus, I don't want to go out and spend a bunch more money on employees who are not going to be here after they get their certificates. I think that should be something that they should ask to try to obtain on their own. We could pay for, you know, a portion of the DMV fees, which shouldn't be that much. And I think we just went through that, and one of the only one that had the Class A license has already left and gone somewhere else for work after we paid for all the training. So I don't want to get caught up in that again. I think it would be the benefit to the employee to get that certification, but I don't think it should be out of our pocket.
Well, first off, if I may respond, I wish your CHP friend would come and talk to us, because when we contacted CHP, they told us to go away.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, that was one area that I thought would be a very good way to deal with this.
Yeah, a lot of it just has to do with how much you're going to, if you're going to fill it full, and drive it and then use it, or you can drive it, either empty, fill it on location with the water that you're going to use for the jetting process. It's a difference in the weight categories on how it's done.
Well, I understand that's what drives the situation, but it's my understanding that's a Class A trailer. It's rated as a Class A trailer. You need to have a Class A license to be able to pull that trailer, whether it's empty or it's not. So we need. I need to talk with your CHP.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah, because I don't even think the gross weight on it. I don't have that right here. The gross weight that originally you guys talked about was 12,000 pounds fully loaded, I believe it was.
Yes.
16,000
pounds.
Well, that's the.
That must be including
the gross combined weight.
Combined weight.
Yeah.
The jetter is rated. The jetter supposedly weighs 12,000 pounds when it's loaded full.
Right. So depending upon the vehicle that you get for it, I don't know. It's a lot of money, and I really don't think that we should be spending $12,000 to get certificates for the guys that can drive it. That are, one of my, I understand, is already putting applications out for somewhere else anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like...
I don't think that you should take that into consideration. Whether or not people are out looking for work right now.
Well, regardless, I don't think we should be paying for that. That is something that they should be coming
to us with.
To us, saying, I have this certificate, so that is an advantage for them to get it.
Except that they're already hired.
I think someone made a comment earlier that in our job spec we should require that we have a Class A license, and I agree with that. But you have employees that are working for you. They've been here. Now you've bought a piece of equipment that you cannot use because they don't have a driver's license.
No, Gary, I'm sorry. It's actually, this piece of equipment has been in the works for over 8 months, and any one of those employees could have taken the initiative and applied for that license if they were truly interested. Now, I, too, am sore about paying $12,000 for somebody to fly across this country and get their certificate. The people of Oceano pay for that certificate, and that person come back and take another position. I thought it was an abuse of the people, it was abuse of the system, and I too am not going to support.
Identified in the staff report is in Santa Maria. So, you know, I mean, that's just an exaggeration.
Guys, they are more than welcome to go over to Santa Maria, enroll, and further their education.
Well, I think the biggest problem for your staff is paying the cost of the tuition.
Well, other people who aren't working are able to put together student loans and increase, do better on their education. They knew they needed the license. They knew it. They knew nobody was on staff. They knew it.
I think it's the district's obligation to take up this training and to make sure that your staff is qualified to do the work, considering the situation. I don't think it's appropriate to place that burden on your employees. That's why I wrote this staff report this way. And I understand what you're saying. I understand your position. But these are your employees. This is your equipment. This is your work.
One of the things that I've seen done is if you take an educational allowance like this and you leave within a certain amount of time, you have to pay it back.
You know, I've seen that. As a matter of fact, where I used to work, we had policies like that with certain educational benefits. And, you sign an agreement that say that, you know, if I get this training and the district pays for it, I'll give you 4 years or 5 years or whatever the number is. I've seen that. That certainly takes the financial burden off of the employees. You know, if they decide they want another job, they're gonna get billed for it.
I have a concern because we bought a piece of equipment. It was never, that I recall, disclosed to us this was a Class A trailer.
No.
This was never. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
I don't recall that.
And I do remember reading the book. And I do remember reading the trailer and the recommended vehicle to pull it at its full weight capacity.
12,000
pounds. And I do remember the water, people who work in that area, being fully aware of it.
I don't recall the discussion. Karen, do you remember?
Ann have spoke to me about it.
Well, I know that when I came to work for you, which hasn't been, what, 8 weeks, 7, 8 weeks, they all knew they needed this license.
Yep. Yes.
They knew that. I don't think that's pertinent. I think what's pertinent is you have an existing staff that didn't come in here with the qualifications to drive that vehicle. You made a change in the way you do business, and now in order for them to be able to use the equipment that you purchased, they need this license. I just don't think it's appropriate to put the burden of this on the back of your employees.
Well, it's not a burden.
It's a month's salary.
If I knew that the piece of equipment was coming into my department,
and see what it's going to cost.
I can only hear one at a time. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Lori. Go ahead.
I said I'd like to see them go to DMV, pick up the form and the application information that goes along with that to see about getting their license. Because I've talked to a couple different people, and they both said they don't have to go to a school or anything. You go up and fill out the information, and you may have to do a test drive on a vehicle, depending upon what they're driving. And it also depends upon the total gross weight, which is why, you know, I don't know why they would fill stuff driving across town, that since we've got such a huge town to go to, we've got water hydrants everywhere, they take it and fill it there to use instead of, they would avoid your Class A licensing, is what I understand.
I really need to talk to your CHP
okay.
friend.
That's what I'll do, is I'll get a hold of him tomorrow and see when he's available.
Yeah.
And I'll have him come down.
Yeah, that's good.
Because he does that. That's what he does. He drives around inspecting big rig vehicles and the CHP stuff as well.
I wouldn't like to see any of those people pulling that without a Class A license.
Yes.
Because they need to learn to drive the rig.
You know, I agree with you. If Director Angelo is correct, it's not a venue that I'm aware of. We've looked. I told you we contacted CHP. They were not helpful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll find out, and I'll just ask him and see if he can give you a call or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
or put
fine.
Me in touch with somebody.
I get you. I don't know. I didn't need a Class A.
But you know, I mean, this
you
don't want your employees trying to pull something without the right license. It's illegal.
It's a lawsuit just waiting to happen.
No, yeah. I understand. That's why I question it, because that's not what I'm hearing. So that's, you know, if you want to go ahead and pay for everything, that's up to you guys. I don't want to.
I don't know. I would take the initiative, have known that this piece of equipment was coming in. That the licensing was...
It's a fairly time-consuming process to get a Class A license. It doesn't happen overnight. There has to be experience. You have to know how to drive the vehicle.
I had one, I know.
Okay.
Maybe
and
you can drive her.
Me, too.
I'll put you on staff.
Put Mary on call.
Mary can drive the
gym. I drive a motorcycle, but I went and got a license before I bought a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
So should we look at the funding plan?
Yeah, as far as the funding,
first?
Do you guys want to finance it at an additional cost of $11,676 or pay it off with reserves?
I have a question on that.
Sure.
Our reserves are fine until we need them.
Yes.
And I know the reason for financing that was so that we wouldn't short ourselves in reserves. And sewer... We got a lot of sewer pipes that could break real quick. So I don't know. I mean, you guys tell me. Might be wise to finance it so we'd have more cash if something else happened.
The sewer pipes might already be broken.
You know, if it had been under Robbo, that we was led to believe that the loan was with Robbo, and now my understanding is it's with DeLange.
With who?
Who?
DeLange.
I don't even know who that one is. Never heard of it. Must be for construction stuff.
I'm pretty sure that... Was it DeLange, Gary?
I think that might be the underwriter. So
yeah, I'm relatively confident it said DeLange. And I was led to believe...
The DeLange Landon Public Finance.
DeLange.
DeLange, D-E-L-A-G-E.
Yeah.
Landon.
delay.
What's staff's recommendation?
We have it right here.
That's you.
I think that we should use the cash that we have to pay for it and save the $11,000 in interest. Mm-hmm. I also think that when ratepayers see our big cash balances with no projects and nothing in play, they want to know, why do you have all this cash and still I have to pay this rate? And I think that this is a good opportunity to use the money that we got when we got reimbursed from our 2005-2006 expenditures. We got reimbursed last year, finally. And I think this is a good opportunity to use it for the sewer fund.
Great.
There's one other piece of this puzzle, though, that needs to be considered, I think, and that's the fact that more important than the jetter is the generator.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't finance both. There is money in the sewer department to pay for the jetter, which we've already committed to. And there's fees from the fire department that can go towards the generator. And there was talk about financing the balance of the generator and paying for the jetter. So, you know, that's another factor that I think you need to think about in this whole picture.
About the same cost for each of them.
Pardon me?
And each of them are about the same money-wise.
Well, Marie is referring to something that we've been discussing. We found about $125,000 in fire facilities fees that we can put to that generator. It's going to cost more than that.
Right.
So this lease purchase agreement could potentially be reassigned to a portion of the generator cost. So if you pay for the jetter and the truck out of your sewer fund, you can use your fire facilities fees to pay for a majority of the cost of the generator and use this lease purchase reassigned to pick up the rest of the cost and get it done that way. We don't know that we can use this lease payment, this lease purchase agreement for the generator because we haven't talked to the bank about it. But it's a possibility that it can produce that for you.
They offered to finance the truck today, Gary, when I was at the bank.
I'm sorry?
Oh, yeah. They offered to finance the truck when I was at the bank today.
They did.
Have they identified a truck?
Is it the bank or is it Delange?
Well, the bank...
It's a Rabobank arrangement, and they must be using this company to...
Oh, God, I hate this company. It just gives them more money. Just creeps me out. Sleazy.
Well, then let's pay it off.
Pardon me?
Mary hates the company. This is staff recommendation. All right. Is there a motion?
So do we have a little bit of time? If we approve this, do we have a little bit of time to beat the streets? Because I'll go to Atascadero to the auction this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I don't think you're going to get anything in here overnight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is just
this is approval of the funds, and then we all start scattering to look for it.
Even if you went out and bought, ordered one brand new, it's going to take a while to get it here. These things are not, they just don't roll down the line like a sedan.
The unit that they used,
I think I told you or shared with you, the unit that they used to deliver it was a 5.4-liter diesel. And the guy had a hard time getting it here. So you're looking, you know, at a specialized piece of equipment.
So I move that we direct staff to locate a quote or...
Locate and purchase.
We're going to purchase. We're going to look at it.
Yeah, you're... what? Oh, yeah, I understand. Your purchasing requirements are such that we've got to come back to you once we find this and get your approval.
Yeah.
So what you're, in my mind, what you're telling us to do is get out there and find one.
Find one, yeah. So I move that we direct staff to locate an adequate tow vehicle, used tow vehicle.
Pardon me?
I said I move that we direct staff to locate an adequate used tow vehicle.
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that carries 5-0. And then I think number three is pretty easy. Direct staff to surplus the existing inoperable 1981 utility and dump truck. This has been well established, I think, many times that things ready to go to the.
I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Who was the second?
That was Jennifer. All right, that carries 5-0.
Okay, you're going to see this again because your procedures require that we come back in and give you a resolution and do the surplus. Okay.
Right, that's fine. If you see anything else out there, let us know.
Yeah, okay.
If you need surplus. Item number four, this direct staff to implement the least costly alternative for obtaining Class A California driver's licenses for all three utility service crew employees at a cost not to exceed $12,500 plus staff time and travel expenses. Is there any more discussion on this item?
I support the district paying for that, but I would like to see the lower cost options for sure, and I would change that to two utility service crew, and if we're going to change the RFP for the supervisor lead to include the Class A license already.
Okay.
All right. Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. The change was to change it from all three to two.
Never mind.
Yeah, there's only two right now. And so all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, I counted two and two. Jennifer, what was your vote? I didn't.
Yes. Sorry.
So you voted yes on the motion? Okay, so the motion carries 3-2.
Can you ask for a 5-minute break?
Sure. It's 9:42 p.m. We'll take a 5-minute break.
What about our done by 9:30?
Oh.
Did we ever actually create that policy?
That policy is policy is scheduled to come before you at the next meeting. It'll take a resolution to amend your bylaws.
Okay. So it isn't in effect?
Not yet.
Okay. Just
nice try, Karen. Okay. We'll come back at 9:47. All right, we're back in session. The Oceana Community Service District, it's 10 minutes to 10. Moving on to resolution number 2013-18, authorizing internal transfer of the administration building from the water fund to the general fund. Jocelyn, this was your report. Is there anything you'd like to add besides what's in the staff report? Microphone.
I'm not sure if you guys read that staff report, but this is an asset that was purchased with water fund cash back in 1986, and the asset's been sitting on the water fund's books since then. And each year, about $32,000 in depreciation expense gets hit to the water fund. And this resolution will transfer the asset as an administrative asset, and going forward, the depreciation expense will be part of the admin allocation, so that all the funds, so they depreciate that over the life of the building, so that each year that building's being used, the income statement will be hit with that, and that's the purpose of depreciation. The water fund's been paying for the depreciation since then, $32,000 single year.
They've been paying for the depreciation on it.
Right.
And so what's the total on the depreciation?
The net book value right now, let me see. If you look, there is a paper that has the journal entries on it that will be done. For some people that have a little bit of like an accounting mind, they want to see how the debits and credits are going on.
Yeah.
So the building was purchased, or the original cost of the building put on the books in the water fund was $1,290,182. And so far to date, the water fund has expensed $870,873 in depreciation. This transfer will be at the net book value so that there's no gain or loss between the funds. And when I talked to our auditor about it, I definitely talked to him before I brought this to you guys to make sure this was the best way to handle it. And I would say the best way to handle it would be to restate every single financial statement back to 1986 and put the books on the administrative asset back then. There's no way we're going to do that. That would cost way more than the building's worth. So it's just not going to happen. The difference is not going to be very much different in the end anyways.
Justin, is the 1.2 this building, the fire department, and the housing unit in the back?
No, the 1.2 is just this portion right here.
Just this building?
The fire department next door was put in place, I want to say the year after.
Okay.
Does that sound like... I don't have it in front of me.
The next door is
separated on the asset listing. It's not the same as this part. The administrative.
Even though they're attached?
That's correct. They weren't built and put into place at the same time.
Okay.
That's why there's the confusion.
That's probably what that's coming that you're hearing.
Yeah.
And those are probably built with fire department funds.
No, that thing was built with fire funds. I'm going on.
Yeah, and the asset listing has them separated.
Okay.
Okay.
And that portion is in the general fund.
Okay.
Already,
okay.
Along with the modular units in the general fund too, like it's supposed to be.
Boy, I'd like a copy of that document so I can say here.
I move that we adopt resolution number 2013-18, which transfers the administration building from the water fund to the general fund.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Marie, can you do a roll call vote, please?
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
And Director Angelo?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries 5-0. Okay. Moving on to item number 10E, board committee assignments. As the board is well aware, we now have Director Blackburn, and we have the vacancies. If you look at the list, this, where it says vacant in bold capital letters, those were Director Hurdle's assignments. Anybody that want to do musical chairs? Although I am going to ask to be the alternate on the Five Cities Fire Authority, if that doesn't hurt you,
nope.
Alex. Okay.
Is who is?
Me.
Okay.
Does anybody want to do... I'll back up Director White. Does anybody want to do any other musical chairs, or should we leave these... Or should we just plug... Director Blackburn into those spots.
I would recommend that we take community enhancement and put it on hold.
Yeah.
Yeah, that never meets.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's no, we don't have any lights, obviously. So if we could just put that one on hold, that might free up a little bit of time.
I don't know if I can make a request at all.
Yes.
But if there's any possibility of being on water and sewer or utilities, or, I would love to be on there if at all possible.
You want to swap out with me?
Sure.
Or me?
That's okay.
Please?
So if you guys will Rochambeau, we'll see.
So Jennifer, you can have both positions.
Oh, yes. Guess what? You're chair and director.
Right.
Well, you can take, I'll let you do Lori, but Jennifer, we co-chair.
That's fine with me.
Okay.
That sounds good.
So is it going to be water and sewer with, are you stepping up? Or is
no, Lori, I'm going to let Lori slide.
Okay.
Because I'm going to ask a favor in the future.
Well, I was thinking, like, when you were talking water, like,
some
of the other ones, like, Zone 3.
I am interested in doing those as well.
What about the finance advisory? Do you want to be the...
Yeah.
Okay.
You've been going to that anyway.
Is she taking my place? Or
no, you're still...
I don't have to.
I'm just plugging her into the vacant spot. You guys can both go.
Yeah. What about the airport land use?
Has anybody ever been to that? From
I went a couple times, and it's like Oceano doesn't come up unless it has to be on it, just so they can put a star saying that the funds are going to go to San Luis and Paso. But we do have this little play airport down here that we utilize for that funding.
Okay.
But we never get anything from it anyway.
So why don't we just leave it as one director?
Yeah.
I guess, you know,
okay, me and my big mouth. I get it. Uh-huh.
So it's just you, it's just you then, Lori?
I guess so.
Okay.
I'll try to attend one.
I'll fill in for you if you need.
I will, too.
She's on the tail end of her.
All right, supervisor liaison, should we make Jennifer the alternate then?
Either that or I can.
Yeah, go ahead and do that, because if it's so, I don't know, we kind of talked about it last time, but Zone 11A. Because I was going through it anyway.
We're on liaison.
We're on supervisor liaison.
I know. Sorry.
Yeah.
Liaison. I was just saying.
So, Karen, you're going to do it with Matt?
Karen,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I got more time in a way than Jennifer does. I'm just looking at.
Now, who wants to do Zone 11A?
I do.
Okay.
So is that going to be. Are you stepping back on that one, Mary?
I'm pulling out.
All right.
Because I never got there.
So we'll make Blackburn and Angelo.
Oh, boy.
Sounds like a party.
Yeah, what about...
Wait. I thought I heard that you were... That Matt was going to go Zone 11A. No?
No.
Jennifer.
Matt's going to Five Cities Fire.
I'm
going to
be alternate on Five Cities Fire.
Right.
But I'll go back and forth with you on the zone, Lori.
Okay.
I won't leave you alone.
Okay, then we have... What do we have left? RAC? Zone 3?
Yeah.
Zone there were two committees that didn't make it.
One
would be the IRWM, the Integrated Regional Water Management Plan that I live and breathe.
Do you know what that means?
There you go.
Weekly, Dan,
really?
Or near, but it will stop meeting next June 2014.
Okay.
Okay, so let's make you the primary then?
Yeah.
Because since you live and breathe it?
I live and breathe it.
Philadelphia.
It's IRW?
IRWM.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's so a new. That's
it's
a new
the master
committee.
Water plan for the county.
Okay.
And who should we make your backup?
For well, Lori.
I knew it.
So she got
I
to
don't know. I'm not doing with her anyway. I mean, I'm like brain dead when it comes to this stuff anymore. I'm not kidding. I just
okay,
I get
and you
numb.
Said there were two. What's the other one besides IRWM?
Northern Cities Management.
NCMA.
Will we be doing that, or will our new GM be doing that? Just
good question.
Yeah, it's a good
That's
question.
No longer,
but
is it?
Mm-mm.
But we can still have a board member assigned.
Yeah, we're going to stay there.
Okay, so Lucy and Angelo?
Yeah, that's
I'm
fine.
I'm interested in that. I'm,
you can still go.
You, can
you just
still.
Can't participate. If. Feel free to go.
And Lori and I just figured out how to work that one.
And I went brain dead on you tonight, too. I'm telling you, this water stuff
well,
is
yeah, but it sucks the life out
it
of you.
It does.
I'm a little interested in Zone 11A because I live.
Oh, we'll talk to Lori
okay.
down at the end of the table.
You're out. White's in.
Okay, Sharon.
Okay.
It's all yours.
Okay.
Yeah, that goes right by you, doesn't it?
So
we
that
just
many left meetings.
I'm a block.
In the zone.
Zone 11A, Angelo's out.
I'm the backup for Zone 11A.
Okay, so can I just, can I go over this list just so that
we can think?
Please do so.
Community enhancement, it's just Director White.
No,
we're just going to put the whole
it's
thing
on hold.
Oh, okay, so it's nobody.
There's really
okay.
nothing going on with that. So,
so there we go.
So
finance and audit.
Wait.
Me and Jennifer.
So on hold, you mean for two spaces, you just want to pull it off the list?
We'll just leave it blank.
Just leave it because it's a standing committee of the body, of the board.
Okay. So finance and audit is.
Meet as needed. You should just write meet as needed.
She's a vegetarian.
You know, it's getting late.
Yep. Guerrero is chair and Blackburn is director.
Sure.
On personnel, it's Lucy and Angelo.
Wait. But you said finance. Who's chair?
Guerrero. And Blackburn is.
And Jennifer.
Oh, that's right. So I got it. All right. I'm sorry.
Personnel is Lucy and Angelo. Water and sewer is Lucy and Blackburn. Codification is Guerrero and White. Airport land use is just Lori. California Special District, Angelo and Lucy. Five Cities Fire is White and Guerrero. Advisory, White and Blackburn. sanitation, Guerrero.
This document is indicate which of these committees is a Brown Act committee, which isn't, which requires a written report, all that sort of thing. And make it as simple as we can so you have a handy reference.
Not every committee requires a report.
Pardon me?
Not every one of these committees requires a report, right? That the assertion otherwise is not correct.
You know, if you belong to, if you as a director are a member of a Brown Act organization or committee, you don't need to do a written report. Everything else it looks like you do. We're still working on simplifying that. What was the other thing I wanted? And there's language in the government code that requires that the board previously approve your attendance at these meetings. And if we can get these time and place schedule things down, nailed down, so that you can do a blanket approval, I think we will have covered that, and you won't have to deal with it at every meeting. Follow me?
Sounds good.
Okay. Right.
All right.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to have to approve. Director White will go to this meeting, and if she's not available, then her backup will go. And just do it as kind of a blanket document. Go ahead.
The only reason why I ask is because we have one airport land where Angela is by herself, and if Mary fills in for her, she's not pre-approved.
Or their representative.
Could we...
Make language.
I just want to make sure we're all covered.
Right. I don't think so.
We have to, if I go on, then a letter has to be sent to the county saying that I would be the alternate to Director Angelo.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those letters like that that have been done in the past, so I guess we'll have to gather all of those that we have and make sure that they're up to date.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Question. Now, not all of these pay stipends.
No.
Right. Okay. It seems to me that you have that you each have a right to claim a stipend when you're doing business as directed by the board up to a certain dollar amount.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very much. I don't know what it is.
$600
a month. But it's like for Five Cities Fire Authority, because I'm appointed to another board as such, I charge a $50 stipend, but for Oceano Advisory and Zone 3 Tech, I don't.
I think maybe you could.
You could.
Yeah, you could.
You should be getting that now.
Because Zone 3 is a stipend committee, right?
But Zone 3 is a lot... I just was looking at the importance of the meetings to my...
Yep. Well, you know, that has nothing to do with the way this law reads and the way your bylaws read. So.
Okay. Because you are doing it for the benefit of our decision-making, your attendance at the meeting.
Yeah.
Plus, we attend far more meetings that far exceed $600.
Mm-hmm. I know. It seems petty, but that's the law.
It's actually, we're taking $3 an hour minus.
Yeah.
It's costing us personally $3 an hour.
Yeah. Do they claim money?
All right.
The travel time.
There's also, I think we'll look into it, but there's a mileage increment there, too, also.
Do we need a motion then, Gary? I think we need a motion on this to approve as modified.
Yeah, I think you should.
I'll make a motion to approve as modified.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item number F, 10F, letter of support for 4th District Supervisor Appointment. We do have a letter from Mike Wynn asking for a recommendation. This, of course, coming from this board, would be a non-partisan type recommendation.
A non-partisan
what does that
position?
Means we're not supporting somebody just because they're Democrat or Republican or Independent or Tea Party or Independent.
Do we have a completed list of all the candidates?
No, we can't get them.
No, they doesn't exist.
Because
the governor won't release them.
Right.
I mean, we support one candidate who is very qualified. And somebody else gets a position, is that going to put us in a bad position with the new supervisor?
Well, nobody else has approached us about the letter of support.
No.
As a board.
I know of someone else that.
I know of other people that are running.
Their hat in the ring.
I know several people who are.
Yeah.
I have had contact with them and some discussion.
So
I have two.
A, does the board want to support anybody? And B, who would that be?
I don't feel comfortable supporting somebody yet, just as a board, as an elected person, or I guess I wasn't, but still, as an elected position, you know, I don't know that we have that, we're in that position to decide for the rest of the community.
Well, we are District 5.
Four.
Oh, okay. It's dinner time.
Past dinner time.
You know, we make up a lot of that district, and the supervisor, our existence is really contingent upon whether we have a good relationship with the supervisor or not. And we've seen what's happened in the past when we have a supervisor who does not support Oceano. We get left in the dust, and all the junk goes to Oceano. And then we've seen in... Well, not my time, but I heard that we had a supervisor that was supportive of Oceano and wanted to see it grow. So my thought on it is no, I support Mr. Nguyen. But then there's other people who are running too that I would support, and I think didn't somebody announce her candidacy?
Yes.
Ruth.
Ruth Brackett.
Ruth Brackett. She used to be a supervisor like 15 years ago. She was
elected twice before.
So I too would support her because, you know, she doesn't want to just dump on us. She actually participates in the community. So that's why I say, you know, it doesn't have... I don't think it should be one letter. I think, you know, we can support...
more than one candidate.
Yeah.
Out of the other people.
I don't even know who else. Well,
just people who call up the newspaper and announce it. That's
yeah.
The only way you can find out who's doing it. But I do know that people who are not friends to Oceano are applying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good thing that we go on the books. Has taken a position. I mean, that's why people elected us, so we would make the hard decisions.
We don't have a clue as to how many people have actually submitted.
No. So I don't know what the timelines are or the deadlines. I'm assuming that we're timely.
No, you know what? The governor's office has stated that they're just moving as fast as they can.
But they've also said that there's no timeline that the appointment is going to be made by.
No, there's not.
Yeah.
They're just plugging through it. Yeah. And they're not releasing any names. So
I guess
the only
you go with
you
your gut, then.
Is who's announced it in the paper. I think there's three people from Napomo.
Probably.
Three people from Napomo, that woman from Arroyo Grande, Karen Ray.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know if she's ever been to Oceano. You know. So I would support people who actually have been involved in the community, and those two people, Mike Nguyen and Ruth Brackett, are the two people who I'm aware of.
Yeah, I haven't heard of anyone else.
I don't know who Ruth Brackett is. I wasn't around her whenever she was elected.
She was before
she's
the sheriff.
She's been around for a long time.
She was right before the sheriff.
No. She was way before. She was before Johnson.
Cacho, I mean.
Before Cacho.
She was before Cacho.
Yeah, she was before Cacho.
Cacho came in after her.
But she was here and helped build the community center.
She got that going in the Boys and Girls Club as well.
Right.
She was a very strong supporter. She's always been of support with smaller communities.
What has she been doing since she?
I think she's working on another community center up in the Napomo area.
might be.
Trying to get another community center up there. From what I understand.
And I think one of the, is it my understanding that if Oceano CSD sent a letter, it would be because of the CSD experience in supporting and water knowledge and supporting Oceano? Or what's your thinking on that? That was an inarticulate question. Is the purpose in supporting a candidate, one particular person or two particular people, over the other people because of their commitment to Oceano and their water knowledge? Maybe that's a better way.
Yeah.
Rather than political party affiliation or...
I think that their, you know, their knowledge of Oceano, their involvement in Oceano, and that they're not just going to, you know, cut us off the map and pay attention to the rest of the district, which has happened in the past. You know, so that's why I think two, you know, that's why I say two, because I know there's at least 8 names. I didn't say 8 friends.
Just names, yeah.
I said 8 names.
I heard you correctly.
Well, I don't know. I'll send my own letter of support, too, so...
Yeah, and I'll do the same as well.
Yeah. Because we do have some good candidates, but not as many as I would like.
I don't think anybody knows the water issues as well as Michael Wynn.
No.
Yeah, he's good with that.
And he's brutally honest.
Yeah, he is.
Brutal. Way to say there's a very large project going up Los Ferros Canyon, and it's going to impact you in Oceano, Mary. And you need to know about this. You know, and I know he called some other people too to say this is going to directly impact you. And he did go on the record at the Board of Supervisors.
I support bringing it back at the next meeting, and I'll look into it in the process.
Yes. Can you speak up? I'm sorry.
I said I support bringing it back at the next meeting, and I'll look into it in the process.
Yes.
All right, yeah, let's do that. All right, we'll see that back on the 28th.
Sounds good.
All right, moving on to item number 11, utility items none. We'll go back to close session. Actually, do you guys want to do board comments now? Because we did put the closed session at the end.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's do. Are there any board comments this evening that we haven't already covered?
I got to do the strategic planning webinar a couple weeks ago, and I'm really excited about looking at that again when when we have our house more in order.
Not that we aren't enjoying our time with Gary, but we should have a permanent GM here hopefully pretty soon. And
yes.
I've got my backpack.
It's past his bedtime already. So.
That's true.
Well, you've held up really well, Gary, and I want to thank you for stepping in and being the brave soul.
And now
I know you're ready to retire again.
Yes.
You've been a great calming force to this.
And you've all been very kind to me, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
We appreciate your service. All of us?
Really?
All of you.
I don't hear that often.
Now that I know that Director Lucy appreciates somebody that tells it the way they see it.
Well, you know, I just have to think.
You're getting a call. You're getting a call in the morning. She'll be in her office.
I will.
Okay, now.
Late received written communications. None? Okay, we've already covered, I think, future agenda items. Oh, one thing I did want to talk about on a future agenda item is, and speaking of Jetter, was the Efren's Deli sewer block that we incurred a $1,700 sewer bill and a bunch of overtime. Was there ever a final determination made as to whether or not it was their grease? Because they did get a notice of noncompliance for the when the fog.
Well, you know, that's probably as close as you're going to get to finding a smoking gun.
Yeah. And so do we want to send them a bill, or do the ratepayers have to absorb that? So I think perhaps we could revisit that situation.
Yeah, let's put that on for next agenda.
At the next agenda.
We can do a DNA on the grease.
Oh, you probably don't want
maybe.
To.
I want to make a joke. I don't know how to follow up on that. Moving on to item number 17, public comment. There's no public here. We'll close that. And we'll go back into closed session. And we'll relieve AGP at this time. And if there's an announcement out of closed session, we can go ahead and post that as soon as. The only potential announcement would be hiring of district legal counsel. And if and when that comes up, we will go ahead and post that. And then we can post it on the web. So good night, everybody. It is 10:21 p.m. Thank you.